Welcome back to the Gospel Fuel Podcast. My name is Tanner. I'm on staff here at First Family Church. And what we do every week on this portion of the podcast is we walk through our Bible reading plan for the year and talk through what we've learned from it. And we are on week 31 of the plan for the year. And I've got Brett. He's also on staff and one of our pastors here at First Family. And he's back on the pod and is going to share with us from week 31.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that we're already at 31.
Yeah.
It feels like we just started. Not that long ago.
I mean, it is August, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of crazy the calendar works, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, I feel like this summer has gone faster. Does it feel like this summer's gone faster even than usual? I don't know what it is. Yeah, maybe every summer goes fast, and I always think this, but.
Yeah. Week 31 is really good. There's significant portions of Jesus' teaching in Matthew, and I feel like you could do many, many podcasts.
Yeah.
But as I was reading through those five chapters, I think, or 6, 11 through 15, whatever that is, 4, 5, 6. I'm not a math guy. I went to Bible college. But what really stood out to me was just the number of interactions that Jesus has with the Pharisees about their religiosity. Mm. So when he's walking through the fields with the disciples and they're just picking some of the food and mm-hmm. eating it, and the Pharisees freak out, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, he quotes Hosea and says, you know, do you not know that I desire mercy? Mm-hmm. Over sacrifice.
Yeah.
And then the other one in Matthew 15, there's this dialogue around honoring your father and mother. And it's after that where you get the more well-known passage where he says, you know, when he quotes, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And it wasn't necessarily like one of those passages that stood out to me, but just the collection of the idea of how strongly Jesus speaks against their legalism,
mm-hmm.
and just their, how much they think that their rules and following that makes them right mm-hmm. and righteous. And as easy it is as it is to read and think like, man, you know, those crazy guys, like how often do I do the same thing? So it just kind of reminded afresh to pursue actual relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just like a formulaic, ritualistic lifestyle. Part of why it was just hitting me is I was just recently studying and writing some about like ways that you can create rhythms in your life
mm-hmm.
to abide.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like sometimes it's a needle to thread of like, okay, how do I make these rhythms?
Mm.
But then how do I also not let the rhythms become rituals?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it just feels like it can be a really tight window to get it through. And so I think sometimes my personality in those instances is like, well, I'm not bother.
Mm.
So feeling committed to having healthy ritual or healthy rhythms,
mm-hmm.
but nervous about them becoming ritualistic, it just struck me as a good reminder of how to keep that in balance. How do you do it? Because you're a very regimented person. Mm-hmm. How do you balance rhythm versus ritual?
One of my biggest struggles, probably, because I default towards the, I mean, I was raised to kind of do this and things will go well for you, which we talked about, like do things the way God has designed them to go and things will generally go better.
Yeah.
So generally I kind of think that way. That's how my brain works. Like, okay, read your Bible and pray every day and things in your spiritual life will be better. That's not untrue, but it can stray into, you know, being in ministry can stray into, well, okay, be in your Bible and prayer, of course, be at church every Sunday, serve on a team, be in a small group, all really good things. But it can be really hard for me not to like be pharisaical and pressing that on other people. It sometimes will come across in my brain as if you're not doing these things, then you're not walking close with Jesus.
Mm.
And so I'm like, just do what you need to do. That's what my brain always is just thinking, like, when someone's not doing what they need to do, in my brain, I'm like, I need them just to do what they need to do.
Mm.
I'm like, if I tell them, if I confront them, then they'll do it. But you can't change people's hearts and you can't, and there's such a thing as seasons.
Yeah.
Like if I walked up to a people who just had a kid 3 weeks ago and I'm like, hey, I haven't seen you at church very much. You guys aren't serving. What's the deal? That would be pretty insensitive of me. Like you guys have a lot going on in your life right now. It's a season. There is grace.
Yeah.
So that's the one I struggle with. Like I struggle with this with my kids with discipline too. Like where is the line between like, hey, here's what you need to do to succeed in one sense, to have these things go a certain way. And where does grace come in? Mm. That's the one. That's all. That's a line I probably struggle with on a daily basis with myself, with my family, with people in my small group. Like that's a hard one.
Yeah, and even the way that people, understanding the way people live those rhythms out. Last year in my small group, I had asked someone like, "Hey, like, what kind of music do you usually listen to?" That's a big part of my rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Worship music, just at home, like mm-hmm. we love that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "I don't really listen to music." And there was a part of me that was like very pharisaical of like, how can you not? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But then they were like, but I love, they were like talking about how like podcasts, preaching, sermons, that's what they love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably a big part of it is relationally, how you respond to people whose rhythms are different.
Mm-hmm.
Do you respond with like, well, why aren't you doing exactly like I think you should?
Yep.
And I think that's like, you know, that we see from the Pharisees is they're very upset that Jesus is getting to the heart and not following their letter.
Right.
And I find myself sometimes doing the same thing as like, well, totally. Why aren't you doing
our proud hearts,
the way I think you should
our
do
our proud hearts will say, the way I do it is the best way to do it, or the way I think through things is the best way to think through things.
Yeah.
There is a right answer and it's mine.
Yeah. And I think even like you said, like serving teams, like some people serve weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Some people serve once a month. You know, if it's black and white, like I don't serve at all and I do, you know, that's one thing. But if it's like, yeah, I'm serving once a month and I'm serving weekly, but the weekly person is like, well, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you serving weekly?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that person's like, you know, who knows what they have going on right now? Maybe the area they serve is different. Maybe it requires a larger amount of time. Like there's so many factors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can easily turn serving into a ritualistic rule-based thing. And then mm-hmm. you're just missing the whole benefit of it.
Yeah.
I think those are the seasons in my life where I might be doing the most, but I'm actually like, I feel like I'm getting the least is when the things that I'm doing, I feel like I'm doing them out of requirement.
So I heard this first when I was the youth pastor at Sailorville. I don't remember if he was the first one who said it, but I'm sure he's not the first one who said it, but he said, I think discipline leads to delight.
Yeah.
Some of those nights was when I was in your small group 5+ years ago. And I still tell people sometimes, like even now, like my wife and I lead a small group and there's nights where I'm like, I'm not feeling it. I don't really want to get together. And then like, I would say like 9.5 times out of 10, I'm like, after those nights, it's like, I needed that.
Yeah.
100%. Like rarely do I dread it and go like, that wasn't great. But usually it's, I needed that. So I think that's on the other side of that coin too.
Yeah.
Is like maybe you need to switch things up, or maybe you just need to be receptive to how God's going to use, like, I don't want to read my Bible this morning.
Yeah.
That's probably means you need to read your Bible. Mm-hmm. So go get in your Bible. Like I have mornings like that too. And oftentimes those are the best times with God. And like I've said before on the podcast, like pray those things. Like I don't do a great job of this, but like, I don't feel like getting into the Bible this morning. Okay. Tell God that.
Yeah, help
God,
me.
I don't want to get in your word right now. Could you increase my desire? Could you show up? Could you show me what I need to hear from your word?
Yeah.
That's a huge relational aspect that we just go, you know, I don't want to read my Bible today. I guess am I a very good Christian? I don't want to read my Bible. How about you pray that? Yeah. Ask God to help you with that. Give you a desire, a greater desire for his word. And that goes for small group and serving. Like, I don't really want to hold the door this morning and greet people. I'm not feeling great. But maybe that's exactly what you need, is to smile and be with the people of God.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there's the other side of that where it's like, maybe you need to switch something up, or maybe you just need to pray that God would use that thing that you're not looking forward to continue to refine you. Church, I hope you'll keep reading your Bibles, and we'll see you next week on the Gospel Fuel Podcast.